Good morning. I hope you're having a great day. I am, because I'm with you. It's always such a pleasure to share the Word of God with each one of you precious listeners. Thank you for being there, and thank you for all that you do for us. And don't forget, send in your prayer requests if you have some. We, the staff, prays Tuesday morning, gets together, and they pray individually for individual letters, and then they have corporate prayer. They put them in my drawer at the station, and then when I come in to do my broadcast, I pick them up and take them home, and I pray over them. So we do care. So one of our slogans is, we care about you, and we do. And who doesn't have heartaches and trials? As long as we're in this evil world, we'll have to face circumstances that are tough for all of us. Well, I'm in the middle of a series. It seems like I'm always doing that, right? Well, anyway, I'm on the series entitled, What Children Need Most in Their Lives. Just finished 9 Ways to Provoke Your Children to Wrath. I had a sweet little note from a dear mother, and she said she'd always wondered what it meant to provoke your children to wrath. And by the way, if you were not listening to any of those broadcasts and you've always wondered, give me a self-addressed stamped envelope and send it here to the radio station and I will make a copy for you. Sorry, I'm not a computer savvy person. I use a computer, but I don't know how to do all those fancy things that you young folks know how to do. So it just so happens that my material that I'm using now has been typed on a typewriter, and I would need to make a copy of it on our copy machine and send it out to you. So that's why I ask for the self-addressed stamped envelope to be mailed here to me. So let me help you. If you've wondered about it, it's so important, and it's so easy to provoke your children and to discourage them. But what children need most in their lives? I want to continue on with the first thing. And of course, children need the Lord. That would be the ultra. And we assume this, that in order to allow them and to encourage them to trust the Lord as their personal Savior, you need all of these things that I'm going to be giving you in my list. And by the way, I think I have 8 of them. So this will be a series, and I want to cover as much as I can to help you. Hopefully, I'm helping you. And by the way, if you're a grandmother, you need this, and a grandfather, you need these things too, because so many grandparents now are helping with the children, babysitting and even raising some children. So this is addressed to all of us. In fact, you know what? We all need to pitch in and help parents with their children and to encourage them just with the little things. I don't know about you, but I clip out things in the newspapers, and when I see a person that's gifted and it's written up in the newspaper and I know them, I cut that out and send a little note and say, congratulations, we're so proud of you. And I'm so glad that you had this honor. And that takes, what, about 2 minutes? And it means so much to the youth just to know that they are remembered and accepted. Well, the first topic, as I said, is what children need most in their lives. I'm sure you have guessed it already, and that is to be loved. Who doesn't want to be loved? All of us need it, want it, and love it when we get it. And I used on my last broadcast Psalm 139, which tells a child that God loves them so much and that they are specially handmade by God. And it's just so beautiful. I would certainly recommend going through that chapter with your children, because it allows them to see how special they are to the Lord. And so let me just say that there are 2 ways that you can express your love to your children. Let me back up by giving a statement that I've been giving on the broadcast in lieu of this series, and that is the goal of every parent should be to encourage your children to find God's will for their lives. Now, that's assuming that you have led them to Christ and they know about the scriptures, they're learning the scriptures, and you need to encourage them to find out what does the Lord have in mind for you. And in light of Psalm 139, he's given them special gifts. They're specially made, specially fashioned. And then you need to help them to fulfill their God's will for the God's glory. So it's a big item, but let me just say this. There are no perfect parents that I've ever met, and that you do what you can, and you try to follow what the Bible says in rearing children. Now, I'll tell you, if you do that and you lean on the Lord for wisdom, you're going to be successful. And so there's two ways that you can express your love to your children. First of all, say it. Don't be quiet about it. I know it. In some families who don't know how to express themselves, they seldom ever say, I love you. And it's so important. A child needs to hear that. They need to be loved and they need to be accepted just the way they are, just the way God made them. And we don't need to put them in a mold of what you wish they were, or what you didn't attain in your life. So that's so easy to do, isn't it? Like if you wanted to be a famous swimmer, go to the Olympics and all that, and you weren't able to attain it, and you see that your child has that special gift, and you just push, push, push. No, make sure that it's God's plan for the kid's life, not your plan. And I, on my last broadcast, I emphasized, and I'm going to say it again, when you go through Psalm 139 with your little girls, make sure that you bring about the point that God fashioned their body just the way he wants it. And they don't have to read all the magazines and be pushed to do this and to do that because some movie star was doing it. And it sort of gives them the right perspective for life, that the most important thing and the priority of their life is to please the Lord. Well, say it and show it. That's two ways that you can express your love to your children. And don't be afraid to hug them and kiss them and put your arms around them. I know the guys shy away, but guess what? They like it anyway. And the tendency, of course, today is to buy your kids things like the latest video and all those gadgets that are out for them to use, and sometimes they're detrimental. But things, remember this, things, buying things are not a substitute for real love. And making time, I use that term rather than taking, because as busy as we all are, you have to make time to be with your children. And to love them means to be there for them in the good times and in the bad times. Yes, with the good grades and the bad grades, with the achievements in sports or whatever, no matter what, you are there for that child. And you know what? Let me just interject this because it's so important and so little is taught in our churches today are these practical things to teach your children. And it doesn't just happen, really. It has to be taught. Another subject that I think is so important, and I've never heard it talked about, but it's been so impressed on my ministry, and that is parents can teach their children how to love by the way they express their love openly to each other. Oh, that is so vital. Like, for instance, kiss your wife when you come home, you guys. And to the little wife, welcome your husband. And when he comes home, receive those kisses and hugs. and tell him how much you missed him all day long. You know what? In all the busyness and all the hurry, it's a shame that we miss out doing these special, sweet things that really make a home and really teach the child how to react to their wife someday. Remember this, your children, no doubt, will follow your leadership in the way you treat your wife or your husband. They're going to pick up on those things, and that's the way they're going to react to their wives and their husbands. So I've often said children are carbon copies. That's right. They follow what we do, and especially the bad things. Well, let me go to the next point. Now, I bet you thought you'll never get past that first one. But here's the second one, stability. Ah, how we need stable, solid families today. Yes, we do. So many broken homes, and that makes it tough to be a stable home because the children from a divorce look at other families and wish that they had the normal God-given plan, and that is husband, wife, children. And so it's tough out there. But work habits, learning to be a stable worker, yes, and that is so important for children. Let me just give some simple examples, like following through to teach a child to make their bed. Yes, that's important. And by the way, not just pulling up the cover and letting it be a mess, but doing it well. Not just doing it halfway. Like carrying out the garbage, but never putting the garbage cover back on. Those are things that you think, oh, Mabel Louise, come on. That's such a small thing. No, it isn't. Children need to do the job right in order to follow through when they grow older. When you are employed by an employer, you need to assume that you are working for the Lord and you are doing your best, your very best. Because the Bible says, whatsoever you do, do it to the glory of the Lord. So actually, when you are working for someone, you are working for the Lord as a testimony of doing a good job for the Lord. And let me just say, one of the problems parents face is that they fail to follow through to make sure the child knows how to do it and how to follow through to make it done right. Make them do it over and over and over if you have to, until they do it right. And explain to them, I want you to do it right because you'll want to teach your children to do it right someday. And besides, when your little friends come over, you'll want your room to be nice as a testimony for them. Explain to a child, not just give a whole bunch of orders and say, do this, do that, but explain to children why they need to put the garbage can cover on, because the flies will come and the smell will come and all of those things, and how it only takes a second more to put the garbage lid on. And you know what? You need to stop with your hands in the water in the dishpan and go out and check, and if it's not done, say, sweetheart, you forgot to put the lid back on. Don't forget, do it right now. And that's the way you follow through. I'll never forget the lessons that I learned from my parents around the dinner table. So many practical lessons that they taught us. And I can hear my dad say right now, always, children, give an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. And I can hear his voice right now, so sweet and gentle. Never raised his voice. He was always the same. He'd say, children, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And I remember we had a neighbor, a farmer neighbor. My dad was a farmer. And every time, he never bought an implement. He always borrowed ours. And I remember one time my dad bought a new implement. I believe it was a plow, but I've kind of forgotten what it was. But I'll never forget. He borrowed it even before my dad used it himself. And he came over and he said, "I see you have a new plow. I need it real bad. Can I use it right? I'll use it first." Well, he used it and he brought it home broken. And I felt so bad for my dad because he had to buy a new part for a new plow that he had bought for himself and really sacrificed to get it. And I remember saying, "Well, Dad, don't you want to say something to him about can't you fix it?" And he said, "No, I'll not do that." He said, "I'll just do unto him as I would have others do unto me." And that was so many lessons. He was so patient and so sweet and trying to win that man to Jesus. And so let me just say, it's so important to have a stable home because stability is one of the things that's so needed today in the lives of the families and their homes. So let me come back and start with number 3 on my next broadcast. It's always so good to be with you. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.